I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. 2 hours a day, I give you a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. This is an odd day. I gotta tell you, I think I'm suffering from some level of PTSD. Can you have PTSD while the trauma is still going on? We're going to take a look today. Some days I struggle to get together a show, to be honest with you. I try to do some kind of deep dives into different topics. I try to cover things other people aren't covering, so I have to dig through a lot of different media to try to find things that, well, frankly, interest me and things that I think should be put out there. And yesterday, really, it's like Groundhog Day when it comes to COVID, when it comes to politics, when it comes to so many different things. Sometimes it gets tedious. So last night, I'm kind of struggling with this, and then boom, a story just lands in my lap. That's pretty much I could do the entire show on. And we're going to take a look today. I'm going to spend a good deal of time. I'm going to put this show on the record as being kind of the thing I'll be judged by historically around coronavirus and the hysteria we're seeing around it and why I rebel against it so badly. So today we've got what I think is very important information about cases, masks, hospitalizations, and deaths. And I'm going to try to put this all into one show so that I can be on the record and I can look back at this and say, well, I was on the record. A lot of things are like that. You push against the mainstream narrative. You hope that there will be a return to sanity at some point where we go back and reassess what we did. And I want to be on the record saying I told you so to a degree. Yesterday, Chuck Yeager died, which I thought was really sad. Some great accomplishments from him. They did a little bit of a biography on him today. And let me tell you how the Chuck Yeager story hit me in particular. Not emotionally. I don't know a lot about Chuck Yeager. I've always been, a lot of people have been fascinated by the things that he did, the risks that he took. And it felt almost like a sign to me. Now, it didn't happen, at a precise timing-wise, but I looked at the Chuck Yeager was 97 years old. He lived a good, full, healthy life. Taking a lot of risks along the way, really, really carving something out for himself, going where many people would not have gone before him. And it seems to me that Chuck Yeager, in this context, with what we're seeing right now and what I'll cover in the show today, feels to me almost like a symbol of the death of the courage of the United States. Just the American courage, the go boldly mantra, really, of what America has been known to be. More adventurers settled a vast continent successfully, regardless of the risk. And Chuck Yeager was really kind of an embodiment of somebody who was willing to take risks to make advancements. We are now a nation that cowers at the feet of deranged health officials and politicians, asking for permissions to do basic life necessities, just to live our lives. We're like a scared cat. We're popping all over the place because somebody told, oh, there's a boogeyman over there, a boogeyman over there, a virus. We are now currently living in a nation that is afraid of contact with another healthy human being because they might have a virus that might get to us. And if I do get it, I've only got a 99.8% chance of surviving it. Chuck Yeager did things that he knew could mean certain death for him, but to advance, He plowed through them many times in his life. Dog fights when he was in the military. Broke the sound barrier with broken ribs. I didn't know that. I've had broken ribs before. I can't imagine how painful that was. But his dogged determination and his courage to go ahead with the test flight that broke the sound barrier is really what America should be about. It's kind of what we were built on. The pioneers. The innovators. And today, instead, we terrorize our children with fear of every possible danger. You're going to be abducted. I mean, we've destroyed the quality of our children's lives for a disease that poses absolutely no danger to them whatsoever. There will be a few sad stories, much like there are sad stories about car accidents and childhood cancers and accidents. Electrocutions in the tub, if you look for it hard enough. I'm sure you can find those with youth. Tragic, tragic stories. I can't imagine losing a child, but that being said, now if we get a little sad, we immediately run to the doctor, and the doctor gives us a pill to numb us so we don't have to deal with the pain of emotions. We actually, in this country now, we scream and whine about microaggressions. Micro. Do people even know what micro means anymore? It's not even rebelling against aggressive behavior from somebody else. It's called a microaggression. And people seek health and safe spaces for these things. We give away our freedoms and allow our way of life, our privacy, our freedoms to be stripped from us anytime we're told us there's some possible danger out there. In order to keep us safe, presidents and politicians say, my number one responsibility is to keep you safe. And we, whatever you say, we just need to do something. It's really funny to me. I was watching football over the past couple of weeks, and you hear these NFL players or college teams that have to suspend games. They can't have a game because some of the players, I guess a sufficient number, maybe six players, test positive. We're going to cover the test today. Test positive for this virus. They show no symptoms. They are not sick. They are young and incredibly healthy, vibrant young men. But because six of them test positive, they cancel the whole game. But when those six people who never had any symptoms, never were in any danger of death or horrible outcome from coronavirus, when they test negative, we allow them to go back on the football field and run full speed at each other and smash their heads together to break bones, to rip apart joints, to end up having traumatic, lifelong debilitating head injuries in some cases, or even breaking a neck. But if six of them test positive for a bug that's something along the lines for a college student, a healthy college student, something along the lines of a cold, a simple cold, we got to cancel the whole game, keep the fans away, lock everybody down, quarantine, quarantine, quarantine. And then we put them back out on the field and allow them to smash into each other for 3 hours. As long as they don't test positive for a virus that's no danger to them, we'll allow them to go out there and smash into each other. I mean, this is where we are as a country. Chuck Yeager's death, should things not change, Chuck Yeager's death just seems to almost be a bookend. A bookend on the courage of America. We are now a nation just of snowflakes. I've said it before. I think we should replace the stars on the American flag with snowflakes instead of stars. Because we're all such precious cargo that we can't even deal with temperature changes now. I mean, climate change, almost by definition, what a snowflake is. So sad in the passing of Chuck Yeager, but almost sadder in the loss of courage and bravery and overcoming obstacles by going through them, not around them, not hiding from them, that Chuck Yeager did. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? Yep. Sorry, there you are.
You know, I'm listening to you, and you keep repeating the same thing, that you don't trust government, you don't trust authority,
nope.
You want the people in society, especially the radio listening audience, to mock any authoritative statements made by government. you're saying constantly and in a very mocking way what's going on with COVID-19.
Yeah, now you need to listen to the rest of the show and then call in tomorrow, because I'm going to break down this COVID stuff for you. And then what I want you to do is absorb the information today and then come back at me, explain, and then tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, this is not about right or wrong. COVID is real. People are dying. You hadn't went to a funeral, have you? You hadn't lost anybody to COVID, have you?
As a matter of fact, I lost a friend on Friday. Not to COVID, but to something else. I'm fully aware of death.
COVID-19. That's what we talk about.
How many people?
Heart attack, car wreck. We're talking about COVID-19.
Okay, well, I mean.
People are dying from COVID-19. White folk, black folk, everybody died from COVID-19. And you didn't get the message or the memo that people died from.
How many people died from COVID-19? Like, that was the cause of death?
I don't know, but I've gone to 4 funerals where the cause of death was COVID-19.
All healthy people going into it, all normal body weight, no diabetics, no pre-existing conditions. They were just in the prime of their life, young, healthy people, and they were stricken by this disease?
Yeah. 40, 42, 44, 46, somewhere in that range.
Well, that's surprising to me. Look,
one was a technician for Sears on the Gulf Coast, came down with COVID, went to the hospital, never came out. I went to his graveside, sir.
Well, look, I'm not minimizing any deaths. What I'm saying is you can't uproot your entire way of life. Look, I can't have a conversation with you if you can't take a question. If you can't stop for just a second to take a question, I'm just going to mute you. What do you say to the 270 million people that the UN has just come out and said are at risk of starvation in 2021? What do you say to that 270 million people?
You find a solution.
The solution is shipping food and getting back to business so these people can be fed. The solution's right in front of us. We fed them last year. We're just not feeding them now because we are so worried about somebody getting sick and dying. So if you were to even believe the numbers, so we've got 270,000 deaths from COVID, and I'll break that down later. That's not an accurate figure. But what does that say to the 270 million people that are at the risk of starvation right now around the world?
You find a solution.
I just told you what the solution is. The solution is opening up commerce. I just gave you the solution. You have to listen to it. If you want a solution, then listen to it. I'm giving it to you. Keep shipping them food. Open up the plants that manufacture food. Get travel back to where food can get to these people. 270 million people. What do you say to the 110,000 business owners that lost their shops over the last 3 months? We've done a whole lot of things. We've done lockdowns. We've done masks. We've done social distancing. These businesses are going under. How many businesses is your life worth?
How many businesses? If we are dying because of a disease, what's your solution?
Johns Hopkins came out with a study that said there's no increased deaths this year. We're tracking the exact same numbers of actual people passing away this year that we have of other years. What I'm saying is, I'll just tell you, for me, I can't speak for you. For me, is my life worth one person losing their business? I don't know. I've got kids, and, you know, a business owner might say, look, I'll shut down my business to save your life. Is my life worth ruining five businesses and putting 10,000 people out of work? No, absolutely not. It's not. It might be worth that to my children and to my friends, but it's not worth it to society at large for my life to close down five businesses or 100 businesses. I mean, these are decisions you have to make. Because we are dealing with a disease does not mean we stop everything just for this one thing. 270 million people at risk of starvation in 2021 because of what we've done so far. That makes the 270,000 COVID deaths look a little small. See, there's a trade-off. It's not all, this is not happening in a vacuum.
You know, I'm listening to you, and the one thing that is not happening, business is not being shut down. People think you just wear a mask when you go into business. You got a problem with that. We keep the business open, just wear a mask.
Do you know what it says on the side of the mask box? Do you know what it says on the side of a box of those paper masks that they hand out to people? Do you know what it says on the side of it?
I heard you say it the other day.
Yeah, it says this will not protect you from COVID-19.
Do you want the business closed, or do you want the customer to be able to come into this?
I want people to make their own best judgment. Look, we've had mask mandates around this country. If you look at the charts of mask mandates, and I don't like mandates. I think you're an adult, Vince. I'm an adult. You give me your best information. Thomas Dobbs can go out there and give me his best practices and best information. Then I'm a grown-ass man, and I'll make my own decisions for myself and my wife. The government doesn't ever make your life better. They get everything wrong. So I don't trust them. But if we've been using masks for all this period of time, why are we seeing these spikes? In the states that have had mask mandates put on, they are having huge spikes right now. What does that tell you about the masks? And on the side of the box, it says these will not protect you from COVID-19. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I know in South Dakota, we don't wear no masks in South Dakota. Now they got spikes all over the place.
They got spikes.
Now the governor has decided, we might need to do something.
Okay, so they've got a spike in South Dakota.
The whole mask deal based because of some political agenda on the left, on the right. Y'all have put us in this mess.
Look,
y'all
you just said,
mask,
look.
Y'all fought masks, made it a political issue. Now the election is over with.
It's not a political issue to me, Vince. If you listen to this show, you know I'm not carrying any water for anybody. I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like the Republican Party. I am for freedom. You just said South Dakota's got a spike. So does Los Angeles. Los Angeles has had a mask mandate going on for forever. It sounds to me like a virus is just going to do what a virus does, whether you're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. Masks don't work. There have not been any studies done that show that masks work. They make you feel better, but it's like hiding from a shotgun blast behind a chain link fence. They don't work. There are no studies to show they work. And the spikes that are occurring right now show you they don't work.
All right, we'll put you in power, and you make the decision for America. What you going to do?
I'm going to give everybody the ability to make their own damn decision. I'm going to give them the best.
Okay, so the hospitals are filling up based on your decision. What do you do now?
You better stick around and listen to the hospital numbers. That's what I'm going to be covering today. You think the hospitals are overflowing with COVID patients? Is that what you think?
I'm just going by what I'm hearing.
Right. Right.
Coast to coast.
Yeah, you sure are. And everybody else is, too. I don't blame you. That's what the media wants you to believe, that there are bodies stacking up in the hallways. I'm going to give you the CDC numbers today on hospitalizations. It should at least, if there's anything inside of you that wants to take in new information and then maybe change your mind, it would at least make you go, huh, that's weird. That's not what I would have thought, because I tell you what, it was shocking to me what the hospital situation is, according to the CDC's actual statistics, not what's going on the nightly news. Anyway, I've got a bunch of information on that, Vince. Look, heartbreak for anybody who has died from this disease or any other cause. It's a tragedy. I've lost a lot of family members and lost one of my best friends last Friday. Friday morning at 8:04 in the morning, I lost one of my dearest friends. Total sympathy for anybody. The problem is there is a trade-off for this. We're acting like there is no price to be paid. 270 million people at the risk of starvation is a price we have decided to pay. I'm not okay with that. 110,000 small restaurants that have gone out of business in just the last 3 months with hundreds of thousands more to go is a price that we will pay that is not being put into the calculation on our response. Anyway, Vince, I got to go. Man, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Stick around. Listen to the hospital numbers. I think it'll be surprising to you. Thanks.
Take care.
All right, you too. All right, got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
You know, COVID's turned out to be a very difficult subject. It's a calculation of risk. There is a risk. Here's one of the stories to just kind of show you how the media drives hysteria. This was shocking to me when I learned this. In the past, I don't know how long, maybe 10, 20 years, there have been stories of these children who are abducted by strangers. Some of them held captive for months or years and then found. Some children horribly murdered. And when typically, we haven't seen one of these in a while, right? But typically when one of these stories happens, all of the media loses their mind, and we're just watching day after day after day of what happened to this child. And ultimately, it finds somebody, or it's a family member or something like that. It got people, it got the American people to a point where you were basically scared to let your child out of your sight at the grocery store. I mean, you want to see a panicked mother in America over the last 20 years? Let her turn around in a Walmart and her child's not standing there. The first thing she thinks about, because of the conditioning from the mainstream media, is, oh my God, somebody's abducted my child. Amber alert, Amber, you know, all of these things. Now, I've had children. But I learned, luckily, when I had children, that the statistics on a child being abducted by a stranger, now this doesn't allow for family things. You know, a lot of times they find out that the father or the mother or somebody did something to the child. Absolutely horrific. Not ever minimizing the death of a child at the hands of anybody. But the FBI had statistics that showed that abductions by strangers hadn't changed for about 50 years. What had changed was 24-hour news cycles. And so we had this irrational fear of ever letting our children outside of our homes. We didn't want to let them go play. Okay, you can play in the front yard, but only if I can see you from the kitchen window. And if they go out of your sight, you women running outside, where are Tommy, Tommy? Terrorizing our children based on a fear that was irrational. There's always a risk something terrible happening. But they built this fear into something where we needed to strip our children of being adventurous and learning new things and playing with other kids and gaining some level of independence by going out and getting dirty and scraping a knee and stuff. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to get on our bikes at 8 o'clock in the morning, go to swim practice, and then I came home at 6 p.m. When I look at some of the paths that we took, they was like, we went 10 miles away from home on the bikes. I mean, today people would think, oh, you're such a bad parent. No, my parents were, there were kids crisscrossing on their bikes all over Northeast Jackson. Parents didn't know where we were. There was no cell phone. And I was just as safe then as you are now, but people think now it's more dangerous. Somebody's coming to take my little Johnny. He's such a beautiful child. But the statistics of abductions by strangers hasn't changed. Now, that's as of about 5 years ago, last time I looked it up. I say this because there's always a trade-off. So I decided I was going to let my children go be children because I knew they were at the same risk that I was as a child. I knew I couldn't guarantee their safety if they're outside of my arm's length. And even then, I couldn't guarantee it. But everything is a risk-reward. It's a trade-off. And with COVID, we've decided to not look at the 270 million people that might starve. We've decided to not look at the 110,000 restaurants that have gone out of business in the last 3 months. We've decided not to look at the suicides and the drug addiction and the binge drinking and the divorces and everything else. None of that stuff matters. It's all about this one disease, and I'm going to break that disease down today. Going to look at the hospitalizations. This was the story that plopped in my lap last night, and I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What are they doing to us? This is basically a crime against humanity, what they have done to us in the fear-mongering. And I understand people falling for it. Look, I'm not mad at Vince. The media is a non-stop fear porn machine. But the facts on the ground do not back up this. The same thing with masks. There's no science that says masks work. And Vince is right. They've had a spike in South Dakota. So they've had a spike in South Dakota where they don't wear masks and they don't shut down. And they've had a spike in Los Angeles where they force you to wear masks and they've forced them to shut down. What does that tell you? Virus gonna virus. That's the theme of this show when it comes to viruses. Virus gonna virus. The mask doesn't help. Lockdowns don't help. You've got the same results in all different areas, regardless of their approach to this thing. So forcing people to do a lot of useless stuff is very objectionable to me. I'm about freedom. I'm not about politics. I couldn't care less if you like Trump or hate Trump, to be honest with you. I don't like Trump. I don't like Joe Biden. I didn't like Barack Obama or George W. Bush. You know, I got to tell you, I'm not carrying water for anybody. This isn't political to me. This is about freedom and the nature of our country and absolutely terrorizing an entire world, really. But I'm most concerned with the United States terrorizing a population and getting them to twisting the idea of risk versus reward. Every day you walk out of the house, you take a risk, but you decide it's worth it to get to work and earn some money. Some people do jobs that are dangerous, but they've made that decision that that's what they're going to do because it pays well or whatever it is. There's always a risk reward. We are all risk right now. It's just everything is based around the risk, and we're not paying attention to the fallout from what we're seeing. I have a couple of quotes today. I'll do one. I had several of them, but I'm getting long into the show. I'm already behind. I'm going to do a George Carlin quote. May explain to you a little bit about me and my similarities to George Carlin. I wish George Carlin was around right now. I would love to see his response to this. Now, George Carlin was a bit of a liberal in a lot of areas, but he was a very smart man, and he called out power hardcore. I can't even play his clips on this show. He called him out so hardcore. George Carlin expresses a lot of things I'd like to express, but I'm FCC limited here behind this microphone. George Carlin said, "My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking, and I'm not a good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me, and I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country." Now, I would imagine if he lived now, he would say that the media is completely useless, except for anything more than just fear porn. But I'm with him. I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. A political party doesn't form my opinions. A politician doesn't form my opinions. And for the love of God, the health authorities in this country who are lying to us about all kinds of different things certainly don't inform my decisions and my opinions. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so much.
All right, we are back. This is Mike Madison, the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Appreciate you joining me today. You're going to get some information here you're not going to get on the mainstream media. I would imagine that this goes somewhat viral on conservative media or even liberal media, because there are good thinking liberals out there that understand we're making a huge mistake right now, too. Again, I'm not mad at Vince. I'm not mad at somebody who thinks their child's going to get abducted constantly. You've been conditioned to feel this way. The fear. The only problem I have with some people who are in this fear is that they refuse to accept any other facts. They get, you know, it's just like the Carl Sagan quote I do. Once you've been bamboozled long enough, you yield to the bamboozle. There's just almost no way to get you out of it. But the only hope that I keep having is that I got out of it. It was the wars that really kind of woke me up. It was the wars and the prescription drug benefit that the Republicans passed, the biggest entitlement since LBJ. Those two things happening within a few years of each other started making me go, now what? What are we doing now? This doesn't seem to make sense, not from what I've been told. And that itched in my brain a little bit, and so I started researching it. And it got smellier and smellier. Once you free yourself from the bamboozle and start taking in facts, it's freeing, man. And you'll want to be a free human being again. You will. because you realize that the beauty of this country and to all the dreams that you have with your life are all about freedom, even to you most socialist out there. You just want to get somebody else's money so that you can have the freedom to do what you want to do. Ultimately, unfortunately, that's not how socialism works. If you take the cash, they call the rules. And it's not pretty if you look at socialist countries. So if you can free yourself from the fear by taking in new facts, it should make you feel better. This is the strangest thing, phenomenon that I see. Is that if you tell somebody, hey, the risk of your child being abducted by a stranger hasn't changed over 50 years. Horrible, sad stories. It happens. It does happen. It is a possibility for all of us with children. But when you realize the media coverage of it, for a while there, it just seemed like it was happening every week, didn't it? It's funny how no child abductions take place during a contested election or a pandemic. Isn't that odd? No, see, what happens is these kinds of things are part of life, the risk of life, and they do happen. But it's during slow news cycles where they go, oh, we've got a tragedy. We need to scare the crap out of everybody. Another child's been abducted. We're going to follow the story for 3 weeks. Every single morning, it's going to lead the news. Strange that hasn't happened in the last few weeks, because I guarantee you there have been children abducted. And it's tragic. But it should make you feel better to know, oh, it's not an epidemic. It's the same as it was when I was a child, and I felt safe going out. And these things should, when I get to these, there's a flow to this show. I try to block off my time to where I can dedicate. So at the beginning of next hour, we're going to start getting in the hospitalization numbers. That's where the meaty part of this show today is going to be. If you can't stick around till the first part of next hour, you can get the podcast. And I encourage you to share with it. To tell them, I don't care if they listen to me drone on for the first hour. Tell them, hey, just go to the second hour and just listen to these hospital statistics. Or email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I will send you the statistics on hospitalization that we're going to cover next hour if you can't stick around. Because it's shocking stuff if you juxtapose it to what the media, Thomas Dobbs, Tate Reeves, and Chokwe Lumumba are trying to tell you right now and get us to completely alter our way of life. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Sam from Madison. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you?
You know, you talk about perception and the way things are today and the way things they were in the past is that because of perception, my parents would actually be put in jail this day and time.
Yes, amen.
Well, no, I was 13 years old. I was working on my Eagle Scout, and a buddy of mine that was, quote, older, he was 14. The two of us left here in Madison and rode our bicycles to the Gulf Coast, went out to Ship Island.
Holy cow.
No. I mean, we got little paperboy racks and sewed Boy Scout packs to them. So we had food and water, tents and stuff like that, change of clothes. My uncle was on the highway patrol. So what they would do is whenever a highway patrolman would pass us on 49, they would say, well, they're in McGee or they're in, you know, Seminary or whatever. But we actually camped out at Paul B. Johnson State Park. Do you know where that is?
I'm not offhand. No.
It's about 10 miles south of Hattiesburg, which is 110 miles. We went 110 miles the first day, and we didn't even know. I cycle. I'm with the Jackson Metro Cycle Club and ride bicycles, but we didn't even know what a century ride back then was. We were just riding our bicycles, having a good time. And
having an adventure.
Yeah, I see a little store on the side of the road, and, man, you know, we'd stop and get us a moon pie and a Coke and talk to the little old lady in there and walk out the screen door and, you know, jump back on our bicycles and go.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and that you're exactly right. Your parents would be locked up for that, and all of the neighbors would have judged your parents. How dare you? Oh, my God,
well,
do you know what could have happened?
You know, when you're a kid, nowadays they're like, well, no, I can't, no. Well, we got down to 98, and we heard a siren, and we thought, man, this is pretty cool. My uncle's got us an escort. But what it was a police officer telling us to get our butts off of 98 or we were going to get hit. And he said, take the back way. Well, you know, we're kids from not there. We're like, well, we don't know where the back way is. He said, well, whatever, just get your butt off my highway. So I looked over. You've been to the Gulf Coast many times?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know that little 18-inch concrete barrier between the highway and the beach.
Yeah.
A 13-year-old and a 14-year-old rode that wall from Gulfport to Biloxi to where our hotel room was. Now, we'd have to stop every so often because when you had steps that would go down, there'd be a break in it. But we didn't know we couldn't do it, so we just did it. But nowadays, kids are like, oh, no, and they go whine and cry and give you 10 reasons why they can't do something. But anyway, I thought maybe that would kind of lighten it up a little bit. And, yes, Paul and I both ended up getting our Eagle Scout merit badge.
Yeah, there you go. Had an adventure, a great story.
Merit badge.
Yeah, I mean, that's what life is about. It's about and I did feel it was very sad. I mean, when I was raising my kids, I just wanted to go out and explore. I mean, I would kick them out of the house pretty much. You know, they were my son liked video games. My daughter liked to sleep or get on her phone or whatever. You know, I pretty much said, I don't care what you do. You can trick me and go to your friends and play video games, but you're getting out of this house. I said, you can sit on the front step if you want to. I'd put them out there. I'd close the door, and I was working from home, so I would just go inside. I don't know what they were doing, but I told them, go out and experience something. Don't sit in front of a screen. But now, you know, we've got, and then we look at these generations and say, what's wrong with these kids? These darn Gen Xers and these snowflakes. Everybody judges the snowflakes, and I say, who the hell do you think raised them? I mean, my generation raised this group of kids that you think people act like these kids just dropped out of, came from another planet and dropped on this. No, we raised them. We infantilized them through their early adulthood. And now we blame them for not being rugged, for looking for microaggressions and safe spaces when our whole lives we terrorized them about life and told them to be looking for every danger. I mean, this is the result.
Well, when you talk about that and sitting around watching TV, my son was about 10 years old and came in. I told him to cut the grass, and he was up on the sofa watching Survivor Man. And so I said, no, I'm not going to call his name, but anyway, I said, look, you need to get the grass cut. He goes, Dad, you don't understand. Mark might die if he doesn't get whatever. And I'm like, son, there's a film crew back behind that camera. They're not going to let the guy die. I said, look, don't plan anything for Saturday. You're mine. So we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I already had the kayak on top of the car. We went down to Gulfport. We put the kayak. It was a 16-foot kayak. We put the kayak in the ocean. We kayaked to Horn Island and lived on the island for 3 days. I taught him how to make a solar well to where he could get his water. We caught crab. We started a fire with flint and steel, put seaweed on it, and we steamed the crab. Well, now he's at Patrick Air Force Base jumping out of airplanes with SEAL teams.
Yeah, you turned him into a real survivor man rather than being an observer of some staged survivor man on camera.
Right. He's the real man. I mean, if you can do it, do you know what a halo jump is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
If you can do a halo jump out of the back of a C-17 with two SEAL teams, then you're a man.
Yeah, because you raised a rugged child. We need to quit. And again, the problem is we're infantilizing our adults. We have been for some period of time. COVID is taking it to a whole nother level. And this is a problem. As I say, kind of like to the point of your son and halo jumps and going off and living off the land for a few days to show him, you know, how to do stuff like that and build those skills. The death of Chuck Yeager to me just hit me like this is almost the death of American bravery and independence. You know, facing danger as a challenge, not cowering from every single possible bad thing and thinking that somehow the government can keep us safe from everything. We're on the wrong path there.
And you know what's
there.
Crazy about that when you're talking about pilots? Chuck Yeager passed away on Lieutenant Colonel McGee. Do you know who he is?
No, I'm not familiar with him.
He's a red tail. He turned 101. On December the 7th, he was the Tuskegee Airman that flew the P-51 Mustangs in World War II.
Yeah.
Just Google him.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Colonel McGee, Red Tails or Tuskegee Airman, and he flew on his 101st birthday.
Holy cow. Yep.
On his 100th birthday, he flew a Honda jet.
Yeah.
So he's still flying.
Yeah. Well, today
I had breakfast with him 2 years ago up at Oshkosh. It's a EAA fly-in that happens in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and had breakfast with him 2 years ago. Now, that's an interesting individual. He's a good guy.
Well, today, if you're 101, they've got you living in a plastic bubble somewhere, you know, afraid of a virus and treating your grandchildren like they're Typhoid Marys that are out to kill you. It's very,
he's
very
out
sad.
Living life, man. Yep. He's out living life.
Yep. All right. Hey, I appreciate it. I got to jump to
later,
a break,
bud.
But good story. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. We'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, I've only got about a minute or so to go in this segment. When I get back, we're going to start looking at these hospitalizations around the country. Look, Tate Reeves said yesterday he's going to revisit or review his executive orders here in the state. I told you about George Flagg yesterday. He's lost his ever-loving mind. He may just really love people and want to protect them. But the masks don't work, George. Lockdowns don't work. The spikes are happening everywhere that they've done masking and lockdowns, just like where they haven't. Virus, gonna virus. Stripping people of their rights is not making them safer. Thomas Dobbs was, I can't remember what the adjective they used. He was frustrated, lashing out, whatever it was. But Thanksgiving, look what happened because of Thanksgiving. It's people going indoors for the colder weather. It's going to happen. And when if you finally come to the realization, and do your own research if you want to. I can keep doing it every day. Read the research on masks. They don't work. There's a lot of doctors out there telling everybody, hey, these don't work. I've been in medical practice for 40 years. We've never worn masks all day, even when we're dealing with infectious diseases. When you've gone to see a doctor for the flu, did he have a mask on when he was examining you? No, he did not. The box of the masks says this won't protect you against COVID. I don't know what else to tell you. But when it comes to the hospitalizations that is triggering all of what we're seeing right now, I think it's very important that we get a true picture of the hospitalization scenario in this country. I'll start doing that beginning of next hour. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I thank you for joining me, and hopefully you'll be glad you joined me right now. I feel like it's a good thing to give people good news, but if you listen to the mainstream media, they don't want to cover anything good, do they? This is designed, our media is designed to get eyeballs on screen and clicks on web links. I mean, that's what the media is for. It's a business, you understand, as is healthcare. It's a business. Vaccines are a business. They're not an altruistic undertaking by a bunch of selfless charitable organizations.
Vaccine. First vaccine was given to a 90-year-old woman today in Great Britain. Oh, everybody's clamoring for the vaccine. Well, not everybody, about 25% of the people. They've got a tough sales job ahead of them. But the only way they can sell us on mass vaccinations for tens of billions of dollars is to make sure everybody is cowering in their homes thinking you can't get back to normal until COVID is eradicated from our society and all danger is lifted. And I told you this shift in language that I'm hearing is that they're saying that not that we're going back to normal, but we're going back to some semblance of normal, meaning they're going to continue this ridiculous mask stuff, social distancing, micromanaging restaurants and retailers as to how many people they can have in and what hours they can have in and what days you need to stay home locked in your house. This is setting a precedent. But here, I've got some good news for you if you're open to facts. Now, I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist, but I can read. I got that out of my public school education. Apparently, and I got to tell you, I'm a graduate of JPS, Jackson Public Schools, Murrah High School. Somehow, either they, most likely my parents, taught me how to think for myself. This is something pretty rare from what I see in society today. You want Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Barack Obama or the nightly news to do your thinking for you? We're going to think for ourselves here for just a little bit, okay? We all know what the consequence of all the lockdowns, mask mandates, everything have been. I told you last hour, they say there's a report out there that says 270 million people at the risk of starvation. 110,000 small businesses or restaurants. Oh, that was the headline. I want to make sure I get that accurate here. Yeah, 110,000 restaurants closed in the last 3 months. We're paying a huge price for coronavirus. What are they saying now? Hospitals are full, right? UMC, running out of beds. This is all about it. This is the same thing. They got us in March. Flatten the curve. Our hospitals can't handle it. So let's go through and look at the official numbers on hospitalizations and hospital capacity right now. Let me get to my story here. Pretty amazing. Somebody put this together. I'm ashamed of myself that I didn't do it, but I'll piggyback this stuff. Okay, let's look. Here's a headline. Hospitals in Idaho, Pennsylvania, Texas, overwhelmed by COVID-19 patients. This is December 5th, 2020, 7:29 p.m. It's got a picture there. Picture there of a hospital worker all, you know, head to toe, PPE, medical staff member serves meals to patient in the COVID intensive care unit at the United Memorial Medical Center in Houston, Texas. And again, the headline. Hospitals in Idaho, Pennsylvania, Texas, overwhelmed by COVID-19 patients. And they take that headline and Thomas Dobbs and other health authorities wag their bony finger at you and say, it's your fault for seeing people during Thanksgiving. We told you. Quit seeing people. Quit getting together for parties. Quit hugging each other. Okay, so that was Idaho, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Let's look at the numbers. Idaho, this is as of the 4th of December. A couple of days ago. Idaho has inpatient beds used. 14.6% of them are COVID. And they have 74% overall ICU beds filled. Means they've got 26%. This number becomes even more stark as I get through this story and you understand. Number one, I'm going to make this point too, probably a couple times in this to make sure people get a context. 14.6% of hospital beds, inpatient beds used in Idaho were COVID. Now, that does not mean that they went to the hospital because of COVID, but if somebody came in for a heart attack or a broken ankle and they tested positive for COVID, they've got to go somewhere to be away from the other patients, right? So they would be considered a COVID case. Now, in that, there's probably some people that are really sick with COVID too. Just like every year, there's some people in the hospital really sick with staph infections and really sick with flu and really sick with pneumonia. Again, I'm gonna hammer this a little bit, but I want to make sure it gets through. Sometimes it takes a couple of tries to get people. The headline is hospitals in Idaho, Pennsylvania, Texas overwhelmed by COVID-19 patients. In Idaho, the first of their states, it's at 14.6% of hospital beds are occupied by COVID positive people, and only 74% of beds overall in the ICU are occupied. Now, on a normal year, 90% of inpatient beds and ICU is normal. Idaho is under normal by 16%. The headline says they're overwhelmed. The statistics are they're actually underwhelmed. Even 100% of ICU use is normal. A 74% of ICU bed use in Idaho is abnormal, abnormally low. Even if ICUs are 100% full, they can all flex to 125%. That is a federal mandate, apparently. I didn't know that. But I do know enough from business to know that, you know, I managed restaurants for a long time. We didn't just buy extra real estate and buy extra square footage to have a room full of 100 tables we never used, but we paid the rent on and we paid the utilities in that room just in case a bus came around so we could accommodate 100 people. You don't do that. The hospitals don't either. They try to have enough beds to where they're pretty much full, around 90% if they can, to make them profitable, but not a bunch of just dead space in the hospital. But apparently there's a federal mandate that says you've got to have room to add another 25%. Most ICUs can flex to 150 to 200%. They just don't leave the beds staffed when they're not needed because it's too expensive. Hospitals, and this story, it says this, which is the point I'm trying to make. Hospitals are like airlines or hotels. They seek to be full, not empty. Building capacity you do not use is how you lose money. Okay, so let's go on to the next state they said is overwhelmed by COVID patients. How about Pennsylvania? In Pennsylvania, of the hospital beds, 17% are COVID. Again, those are people who have tested positive for COVID. We don't know if they're actually suffering from the disease that's making them be hospitalized, but if they're in there for any cause and test positive for COVID, they're put into a COVID wing. 17% of hospital beds have got COVID patients in them. 73% of all beds are full. 82% of their ICU beds are full, meaning they've still got 18% to go. Yet this is told to be overwhelmed. Now, I'm going to get to, just a second, some historical references of just the past couple of years, too, so hang with me. How about Texas? This is the other one in the headline. Overwhelmed, they say in the headline. Overwhelmed, they say in the mainstream media. In Texas, 15% of hospital beds have got COVID patients in them. They've only got 73% of all their beds taken, and only 82% of ICU beds are being used. Again, the norm is 90%. Texas actually has fewer people in ICU than normal. Here's what a Texas hospital CEO said. He said the number of hospitalizations are, quote, being misinterpreted, unquote, said Houston Methodist CEO Mark Brown, quote, and quite frankly, we're concerned that there is a level of alarm in the community that is unwarranted right now. Texas Children's Hospital CEO Mark Wallace said this, quote, there is not a scenario, in my opinion, where the demand for our beds would eclipse our capacity. I cannot imagine that. I just cannot, unquote. Again, the headline says Texas overwhelmed with COVID patients. Now, here's a good one down here. Let me see if I can get to that. Here is a headline. Hospitals overwhelmed by flu patients are treating them in tents. Do you remember this headline? No, you don't. Because the media wasn't breathlessly covering this and scaring the bejesus out of everybody when the flu happened in 2018. Again, I've talked about this before. In 2018, they had to set up tents. It might have been in Central Park. I can't remember exactly where it was. I don't have the story in front of me. 2018, a regular flu year. Hospitals in New York got overwhelmed, and they had to set up remote areas for the 2018 flu season. And there were stories like this all through 2018. Again, I don't have that link in front of me, but I've covered it before. In 2018, this quote was out there, California hospitals are a war zone of flu patients. California hospitals face a quote, unquote, war zone of flu patients and are setting up tents to treat them. This was in 2018. Do you remember panicking about it? Do you remember being forced to wear a mask? Do you remember not hugging your grandmother in 2018? I mean, if the whole gist of this whole thing is we've got to save the hospitals. And to all of the nurses that come onto television that are teary-eyed, look, I would imagine in 2018 they were getting beaten down too, working long hours, seeing a lot of people suffer. I would imagine if you stuck a camera in their face in 2018, they would cry and say, this is just, we can't handle all these people. And if the narrative had been put out that the mask would save us all back in 2018, then I'm sure that nurse who gets teary-eyed on NBC Nightly News would have said, would you please wear your masks? We're getting crushed here. But that does not make for a unique health crisis of what we're experiencing right now. Now, when I come back, we're going to take a look at Mississippi. And if you want to, you can call in and name the state, because what I'm going to go to is the Health and Human Services federal agency, headed by a former pharmaceutical executive, Alex Azar, that gives us the statistics on hospital beds. We're going to look at the percentage of inpatient beds being used by all patients and by COVID patients. And we're going to take a look at the occupancy of ICU beds around the country. According to the Health and Human Services, again, I'm not a scientist, virologist, bacteriologist, I'm nothing. But you would think that maybe we could trust the HHS's statistics, because statistics aren't political unless you want to twist them into something that they are not. So we'll take a look at HHS. We'll look at the national scene. And then if you want to look at it state by state, call in. Shout out your state, and I'll let you know where they are. This information is out there for all of us to have.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
I tell you what drives me a little crazy about doing this kind of stuff is that I know some people will hear these facts and they will just slough it off. They don't care. They're invested. They are invested in COVID being an existential threat to all of us. A lot of people for political reasons. The same way some people who say, I mean, this is absolutely nothing, and I don't agree with that either. Some people have some tragic outcomes with COVID. Some of them got tragic outcomes for being put on ventilators when they probably shouldn't have. But it's the same with politics, with all of these things. We've become a nation of people in bubbles, and you just won't allow anything to pierce the bubble. Not facts, not truth, not honesty, not... And I don't carry water for anybody. I'm probably the least... I'm definitely the least partisan radio show you will probably listen to anywhere, because I don't have a party. I'm a free-thinking human being. And the facts take me where they take me. I do a lot on this show about things that Donald Trump's done that I do not like, because they're the facts. If the facts led me to believe that Donald Trump was fundamentally changing this nation to make us freer and a smaller government, then I would have followed the facts there and been very complimentary. It's the facts that take me where they take me. It's not emotion. It's not some political agenda. I'm not trying to get you to join any team. Trying to be get people to be independent, free-thinking human beings, because we need more of those. So we're breaking down these numbers of COVID. So let's take a look for everybody who wants to kneel at the altar of the government that knows all and should be dictating our entire lives to us right now in this time of crisis. This is the website. You can email me for the link if you want to later. MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll send you the link to this and the story that I just read to you showing each state's hospitalization rates. But this link is protect-public.hhs, that stands for Health and Human Services, .gov. G-O-V. It's not some radical right-wing blogger. Nope. This is the HHS website. So let's take a look at, as of this is December 4th, this may be a weekly update.
Inpatient beds occupied for all patients, 70.1%. There are almost 500,000, 499,513 people hospitalized in beds for all kinds of different causes. 70.1% of hospital beds are taken up. That's two-thirds, essentially. We got a third left to go. This is during this huge spike, right? We've been barraged with, before Thanksgiving, you cannot get together because our hospitals can't handle it. Well, that's strange because they still have over a third of their beds still left, and this doesn't account for the flex beds that I just talked about with government mandates that they have extra beds. COVID patients currently right now make up 14.47% of all hospitalizations. You would think that that number is about 80%. Well, I meant to play the game. I'll do it with the next one. I'll let you guess. I'll let you get a number in your head, and then I'll say the number and see if you're right or wrong. So inpatient beds occupied by COVID-19 patients. And again, this doesn't mean that all of these people are in the hospital because of COVID. It means that they went in for either COVID, they're having a bad reaction to it. It's a tough respiratory disease for some people, and they've got underlying health conditions that sent them into the hospital because of exposure to COVID and a bad viral load to it. And it also includes people who broke their ankle, but they tested positive for COVID, so they can't have them out in Gen Pop. They need to put them with other COVID patients. 14.47% right now. What do you think the occupancy nationally right now, according to Department of Health and Human Services, what do you think the ICU bed occupancy is nationally right now as we see the maps lit up on the news? 39 states experiencing huge spikes or whatever they're saying. 45 states, huge spikes. Hospitals are being overrun. This is what they're telling us over and over again. So what would the national number be for ICU bed occupancy right now? All patients. What number did you come up with? It's 60.14%. A little bit over half. We got 40% more hospital beds than we need right now. This is Health and Human Services, HHS.gov. Protect.public.hhs.gov. They need to change that too. Well, actually, this is protecting the public. This is a good mental health exercise. See? You don't need to put 270 million people at the risk of starvation in 2021 when you've got a hospital system that is more than robust to handle these things. They handled the flu in 2018. Why didn't the media tell us breathlessly that the flu was overrunning hospitals and they were setting up tents? I just read you the headlines from 2018 during the flu. You know what happened during 2018? Tragic deaths of people from the flu. Tragic stories. Moms, dads, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, best friends died, spouses, because of the flu. Now, COVID is different than the flu. People have some weird reactions to this. I'm not somebody who comes on here and says nothing's happening, nothing to see here at all. What I'm telling you is that this is life on planet Earth. And we have never in the history of this country, maybe ever around the world, ever, responded the way we're responding right now. And I'm going to get to another story in a minute about how we're blaming China for all this. China's not the cause of our problems here. Whether it came out of China or not, we'll talk about that in a minute. But China didn't cause Thomas Dobbs to force businesses to go to takeout only. Only Thomas Dobbs and Tate Reeves could have done that, or the mayors or any other part-time tyrants. The things that are happening bad in this country right now are happening because of us, the people that we have allowed to be in power. This is why, Vince, I don't like the government and don't trust them. I don't trust the media. I don't know how you can listen to the last two segments that I have done and say, oh, yeah, the media is being straight up with this. It's Mike Madison that's wrong. I'm just reading the statistics. Here is state by state. How about Mississippi? Let's go ahead and crank it up there. Mississippi, this is inpatient beds occupied by COVID-19 patients. UMC is making a lot of noise. And look, God love the people at UMC. They do great work there. They help a lot of people. I'm not mad at them. But there needs to be some context for what they say because the headlines are wildly misleading and the pleadings to everybody to uproot your life
and close your business and go bankrupt because this is such an existential threat to us are misguided. Look, I guess if I was in the medical system and all I saw from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed was sick people in the hospital, I guess my whole world would just be sickness. I wouldn't know much about what it takes to operate and start up a business that could be crushed. I wouldn't know the financial pressure of having to lay off 20 people who depend on me for their living, to pay their rent, to buy food for their children. You wouldn't know that if you're in a hospital setting surrounded. So you get into your little bubble, but you need to step out of that bubble for a second and understand what the rest of society is about. And we are about living out here. In Mississippi, ICU beds right now, it's a range, and the shade of range for us is 10 to 14.9%, between 10 and 15%. That means if we are overrun in the hospitals right now and hospital beds are full, don't blame COVID. There's another 85% of diseases, many of them preventable, many of them lifestyle diseases. Many of them might have been helped with things like vitamin D and zinc and exercise and not shoving a bunch of prepackaged garbage food down your gullet for 20 years. Why don't you scold people in the grocery? Why isn't Thomas Dobb waving his bony finger of indignation at the people who are loading up their grocery carts with high fructose corn syrup and processed foods? Because apparently, a lot of that is clogging up 85% of inpatient beds right now because COVID's only doing between 10 and 14%. Yeah, Mike, but you're forgetting places like New York. What about New York? Andrew Cuomo says New York is going underwater. He's considering another round of lockdowns to try to save his population. What about New York, Mike? Okay, let's look at New York. Between 5 and 9.9% of their hospital beds are taken up by COVID patients. That's New York. Louisiana, same. Florida, same. California has the same thing as us. They just did another round in Los Angeles County of total lockdowns for either 2 or 3 weeks, destroying people's livings, just destroying their entire way of life. Their hospital beds are the same as Mississippi, 10 to 14%, 10 to 15%, excuse me, 14.9. Now, some states, Illinois, Indiana, New Mexico, Nevada, they're 20 to 24.9%. Again, that means 75% of hospital beds are currently occupied by people that have nothing to do with COVID. It's just life. And every person out of that 75% that don't have COVID that die is a tragic loss. Many of it avoidable. Not with a mask, but maybe with a proper diet. Not with a vaccine, but maybe they should have driven the speed limit or not driven drunk. I mean, there's just no telling what the other 75% are in the hospital for and how many of them will die. Each death tragic to the people who love them. But is our hospital system right now that has 10 to 14.9% of patient beds taken up by COVID, does that warrant George Flagg walking around town saying, if you don't wear a mask, we're giving you a $1,000 fine and you risk 90 days in jail? Because that's happening. Does our hospital system right now that has 10 to 14.9% of COVID patients in it statewide, does that warrant Aberdeen Police Department saying, you will be held accountable? We are enforcing this mandate. And if you give us any attitude about it, we're going to tow your car on Facebook. That's what they said. Does that sound warranted? Does that sound like a rational response to hospital beds being filled up 10 to 14.9% with COVID patients? Because they didn't do that in 2018 when the flu was overwhelming hospitals. Apparently, we had a pretty bad strain that year. But City of Aberdeen cops weren't going to tow your car for coming by and harassing you for not wearing a mask or being out after 10 o'clock at night. Back then, why not? Maybe we're just getting better at responding to these things, Mike. Maybe if we had taken the 2018 flu season more seriously, we could have saved lives. Well, I got to tell you, we can save a lot of lives with a lot of things. Take the highway speed limit down to 30. What you in a rush for anyway? Don't you care about human lives? Leave a little earlier. Is that too much to ask that you leave an hour earlier for work every day if it could save just one life? How safe you want to be out there? Children can never leave their homes. I don't know, though. There's a lot of home accidents. Maybe just a giant Nerf suit that your child puts on first thing in the morning and they can take it off at night. I mean, how safe do you want to be? I don't want to be that safe. I make decisions every single day on what I'm going to do and if there's risk to it. I'm not much of a daredevil. They got a new thing out now. Have you seen this rocket wingsuit they've got? Man, that looks like fun. I think I'm too chicken to do it. I think I'd get hurt. So I'll make the conscious decision. I don't know. I might do that one. If I was given the opportunity, I think I might try to do that, even at the risk of getting hurt, because the reward to me of being able to fly, for God's sakes, is worth it, maybe to get hurt. People need to make their own decisions. Is Thomas Dobbs not looking at these things? Does Thomas Dobbs come out and say, oh my God, we've gone from 12 to 13% of hospital beds? Or does he just come out and say the blanket statement, we're getting overwhelmed? And it's all because of you people who just had to get together with your families for Thanksgiving. And now we got Christmas and New Year's coming up, and I bet you a bunch of morons are going to do it all over again. This is what's coming from our health authorities. Scolding, ridiculing, shame. I'd like to look at this map right here that has these different hospitalizations and find out who had mask mandates and who didn't. I bet you there's no difference in the current number of hospitalizations. You know why? Because masks don't work. So we're going to kind of recap this. I got to take a break, but we're going to kind of recap this and just really look at what the overall narrative is to kind of tie the bow on this show between cases, masks, hospitalizations, and deaths. And then if you can't come to the end of that, my presentation, and just scratching your head going, what the hell are we doing? Then I don't know there's much else I can say to you. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I got a short segment here, so I'm going to interject one little thing about reaction to this coronavirus. And look, if you are at risk of anything because your health is compromised, I'm going to be brutally honest here. I really don't like people who neglect their health for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years when a virus comes around, any virus, flu, whatever's going around. I resent a little bit that you've neglected your health for decades and then you lay it on me to protect you because you're vulnerable now. Now, I have a great deal of sympathy for anybody. I don't want to see anybody get sick. I want to see you heal your health yourself by dialing in your nutrition, getting some exercise, doing the right things for yourself to get your biology sound. I love you. I've got no problems with anybody. I'm a tremendously nice guy in real life. That may not come through on my show. I don't know. But I do resent the fact that people think they can completely neglect their health, eat the biggest bunch of crap possible, take a bunch of pills that don't address anything, that just tamp down some symptoms, and then lay it on me. I have to uproot my life. I have to sacrifice my income. I have to mask up and socially distance, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't go out to eat, and I can't do all these other things because you're vulnerable, because you made yourself vulnerable. And again, we all make mistakes. Look, I'll do a show where I just give you a ton of mistakes. Health is not my mistake. I've done a good job with my health. It may be one of the things I do best at in my personal life. Financially, made huge mistakes. Parenting, I've made mistakes. But I don't lay those things on everybody else. take care of yourself. Don't look to other people to protect you. But if you are vulnerable right now, then you've got a cause for concern, then God love you. Wear a mask. Stay home. Quit your job. Make your kids do telehealth. The kids are yours. They're not the society's. I'm a person that believes parents are in charge of their children. If you're worried about your children going to school, I would say look at the statistics. Children are largely not affected by this at all. And give your kids some vitamin D and some decent food, and you might have a child that thrives. But don't project your fear onto everybody else and make it everybody else's responsibility to save you. I would never ask anybody to do that. I don't like asking people to help me move. I've got good friends who, after I move, they go, "Why didn't you call me?" I'm like, "I don't want to bother you." I don't like imposing on other people. I sure as hell am not going to tell anybody to alter their entire lives to accommodate me in some way. But now we're all shamed into it. Oh, if you're not doing the right things, if you're not wearing the ineffective mask, or if you're not doing the ineffective social distancing, or if you're not willing to go bankrupt to save the most vulnerable among us, you're an evil, evil person. Well, that's a hell of a way to go through life. Thinking that everybody else owes everybody else something. If you think masks work, then wear a mask. Seems like you're protecting yourself there. But don't force a healthy person that isn't transmitting anything to wear a mask. What good does that do? What good does it do to put a mask on a healthy person? Anyway, I'm gonna address this real quick, and then I'm going to come back and tie a bow on this show. This is from our national security advisor. I think his name is Robert O'Brien. This is Trump's guy. He wants to make this all China's fault. Everything we're going through is China's fault. Now, I've just read the statistics to you that what we're experiencing right now, we experienced in 2018 by just native-born flu. Good old American red, white, and blue flu. The disease might be different, but for everybody ready to start a war with China over coronavirus, I'm telling you, China's not your problem. China's not oppressing you right now. Lumumba, Tate Reeves, Thomas Dobb, Anthony Fauci, those are the people oppressing you. George Flags. The Chinese aren't threatening to roust you in the streets if you're not wearing a mask, give you a $1,000 fine, and get you 90 days in jail if you cop an attitude with them. The Chinese aren't threatening to tow your car if you cop an attitude with a police officer that tells you to put on a mask or go to jail. That's the city of Aberdeen doing that. Here's what Robert O'Brien said. The Chinese have handled this thing very poorly with lack of transparency in an attempt to capitalize on the virus to gain geopolitical advantage over their neighbors, the United States and other countries. It's a very sad record for the Chinese. And I think the president has been willing to call it out, unlike many others. And I think the Chinese loss of credibility will be very difficult for them to overcome as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, I think the credibility of our government officials and our health authorities should be hard for them to overcome after this. Look, I'm no fan of the Chinese. What a brutal, horrible communist government. They're a competitor in the world, but they ain't your problem. Chinese haven't issued one single lockdown order. The Chinese have not forced any small business owner to close. Now, they've been flooding our markets with cheap goods, and you've been buying them, so whose fault is that? But anyway, the oppression in this country is coming from our own people. You can be mad at China and dislike China's system and a lot of the nefarious things that they do, like governments around the world. I got no problem with that. But to act like this, COVID-19, is somehow we lay it on everything that's happened is all China's fault is ridiculous. Not to mention the fact that Anthony Fauci was instrumental in getting $3.5 million over to the Wuhan lab to study coronavirus and weaponize it in the first place. But of course, we're not supposed to talk about that. Anyway, we need to look within our own country. It is past time to stop looking at other countries and demanding they go the way. If they just get along with our program, everything would be great. We wouldn't have to invade them anymore. We wouldn't have to overthrow their governments because they're not doing what the good guys say. We are ruled by people that are not the good guys. And none of my rights have been taken by the Chinese this year. A bunch of my rights have been taken by the Chinese.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
right into this world all alone. God takes your soul.
All right, final segment here. I'm going to try to tie a bow on this show. Like a good academic paper, I'm going to offer you a summary real quick. We're going to take a look at the reaction to COVID, and then you make up your own mind. You know what I'd like to say? All right, I'm done talking about it, but I'm not. I can't. I've got PTSD, man. I'm triggered every day. And it keeps getting worse. I wish you were right when you said it was going to be over on November 4th. I knew it wasn't going to be. It's just gotten worse. So let's review the reaction to COVID and what it's based on. First of all, it's based on the cases. I've explained this at length. Cases are driven by testing. Donald Trump's right about that, but he doesn't go far enough. He doesn't explain to you the nature of the PCR test, which is if you run a cycle rate on a PCR test, I'm not using the exact terms. I'm trying to make it kind of layperson and where I can understand it too. I'm not any smarter than any of you. If you cycle these tests at greater than 30 for sure, and maybe even 25, there's a lot of scientists and doctors that are not getting a voice in our society that Donald Trump should have put behind a podium to explain this to everybody, but he didn't, so I will. If they cycle these tests at higher than 25 or 30, you're getting a ton of false positives. Many scientists, many people who have worked with PCR tests have said it could be up to a 90% false positive rate. That accounts for all of the people who say, I feel fine, but I tested positive. And their life is turned upside down for 2 weeks, as is everybody around them. Testing is driven by false positives. Look, I'm a health guy. I do a whole hour about maintaining your health. If this was really a disease that I thought was just catastrophic to everybody, I'd be advising that. I am all about people staying healthy. But this, the case numbers, the terrifying 150 people tested positive yesterday. If 90% of those are false positives, and the last I saw, LabCorp, which does a total lot of testing, they were cycling at 40, a guaranteed way to find a bunch of false positives. Now, some of those will be actually be positives. You know how you can tell if they're real positives? They're sick. Masks don't work. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you can look at all the literature and all of the studies that were done prior to this pandemic, including the disclaimer on the side of a box of paper masks that says, this won't protect you against COVID. You got spikes in states that had mask mandates and spikes in states that did not. There was no difference. Masks don't work. They make you feel good. Hospitalizations are normal for this time of year, and in some places, many places, under what is normal for this time of the year. In 2018, you had them putting up tents to treat flu patients. And I've just gone over the statistics. I'm not going to do any more. The percentage of people with COVID in hospitals right now is not large. In Mississippi, it's under 15%. And it only indicates that they have COVID, but that's not why they're hospitalized. Will some people die from COVID? Yep, they will. Very sad. I'm so sorry to anybody who's lost a loved one. I've lost loved ones. I never expected anybody to give up their business, their livelihoods, or alter their way of life because of the tragedy that befell me and my family. And deaths. We got to save lives. Johns Hopkins, not Mike Madison, not some radical right-wing blogger, not some guy in a tinfoil hat. Johns Hopkins did a study showing there are no excess deaths in the United States in 2020. I've got a few more minutes in the show, so I guess I got to keep talking. But is there much more that needs to be said? There are no excess deaths. For every increase that they're showing as deaths attributed to COVID, strangely, there's a reduction in heart disease and cancer. And none of these things can be explained by isolation or shutdowns. You would think this was causing a lot more heart problems. We certainly have seen a lot more addiction and other things that harm health. No, it's misclassification of deaths. I'll play the lottery this week. And if I win the lottery, I will start going out and getting tens of thousands of death certificates. I'll hire a team to come in and analyze them because somebody needs to get to the bottom of how many people have actually died of COVID. The CDC itself said 94% of the people who are attributed as a COVID death, 94% of them, that's a lot, had comorbidities, meaning something else contributed to their death. Now, maybe it was things that weren't going to kill them for 10 years. but made them vulnerable to COVID. That's a possibility in some of those numbers. And maybe some of those things are like very, very, very old people that were not well in the first place that contracted COVID, and that was the thing that tipped them over the edge, and maybe they died a week or two earlier. Or maybe COVID just happened to be a positive test, but they were dying of old age anyway. We'll never know those true numbers because nobody will do that study. I'll play the lottery, and if I win, I'll do it. It's expensive. So when you look at the fact that cases are driven by a flawed test, that masks do not work based on all of the studies done on masks, and the health professionals that will tell you, we don't wear masks during infectious disease season, never have. Hospitalizations. I've just given you extensive look at the hospitalizations. They're normal for this time of year, and in some cases lower than normal. And deaths, Johns Hopkins has said there are no excess deaths in this country. So it can only lead you to one conclusion, at least in my mind. What the hell are we doing? How have we been taken down this path that we are on right now that is destroying lives, driving addiction, driving divorces, terrorizing our children? What the hell are we doing? Now, I'd love to have Thomas Dobbs come on here for a couple hours and refute everything I've said, because I think he's going to have a hard time doing it because I'm using his beloved institution's numbers. It'll never happen anyway. He's in his ivory tower drawing his paycheck and bossing us all around, scaring the crap out of all of us. What I've said right now should be an empowering show. You don't need to be scared. Live your life. Be careful if you're vulnerable and get on with it. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.